Okay, good evening. We're going to get started with our study. Let's see, we've been working on the study of the verse that we find in Matthew. Let me find that verse. Matthew 24, verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And the conclusion that we've been offering here the last few studies, this is study number 5, this should be the last study of this series, but the conclusion we have been coming to offer has been that those days is focusing in on the days of the Great Tribulation, when the body of Christ is in Great Tribulation in the corporate church, and the shortening of those days would mean that we would come out, we've come out of Great Tribulation, and that no flesh should be saved, and that's the purpose why God takes us up, because he's not saving anyone in the churches no more. He commands the clouds that they bring no rain upon it. We've looked at quite a few verses. We've got a few more verses to look at, and then maybe we'll do sort of a recap of many of the verses that we've looked at. But let's pick it up in Revelation chapter 19, verse 17. Particularly, we've been looking at the word flesh, because to appreciate and understand how God uses that word flesh, spiritually speaking, is what gives us the understanding of that particular verse. We read in Revelation chapter 19, verse 17, and I saw a messenger standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven. Now this messenger standing in the sun is God. It is Christ. He is the light of the world. He is the one that stands in the light. He is the light. And he cries with a loud voice, and the loud voice means that it is a great voice. It is a voice that is heard throughout the kingdom, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together onto the supper of the great God. And this particular supper is a supper that God has prepared for the fowls. The fowls are a picture of the corporate of the false prophet and the false teacher, and it is a supper feast that he has prepared for them. And the supper feast is a feast of flesh. In verse 18, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Now, eating the flesh, here is the false prophet who brings another gospel, and he has eaten the flesh of the individuals he is bringing that false gospel to, spiritually speaking. And the idea of eating the flesh is to feed off the sin. Just as we saw that Christ is the bread of life, and we are to feed off him, and he commands us that his flesh was meat indeed, and that we are to eat his flesh, it is a picture of the fact that spiritually we feed off Christ. We feed off him spiritually by looking into the life of Christ, by looking into the Bible. He is the Word of God. And here they have another flesh. They have a strange flesh, as we saw in our last study. This is a flesh which is a picture again of the corporate church also, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses. And horses identify with a picture of the corporate church. One of the many words that God uses, a horse is could be a beast of burden. An animal that is ridden for, that could be rode upon to go into battle, which we see that picture in Revelation chapter 9. Again, it identifies with the church. Christ is the rider on the white horse, and the white horse identifies with the body of Christ, and he holds the rein of that horse, going forth conquering and to conquering and to conquer through and by the body of Christ. That is the way that God has chose to bring the gospel into the world, through the body of Christ. So they eat the flesh of horses and of them that sat on them, and of the flesh of all men, both great and small, all men, both bond and free, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against them that sat on a horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that he had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Their food, again, was the sins of the body, the sins of the people, the sins of the body, of the corporate body in this particular case. We see a picture in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 17. We read, and thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl, and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves, and come together, come gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountain of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty, and drink the blood of princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, and bullocks, all them fatling of Balaam. And ye shall eat fat till ye be filled, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots and mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. So here again, I think this is a picture of the same kind of picture we're seeing in Revelation 19. And this is a feast. God makes them to drink of the cup. And we read about that, how he fills the cup onto her, and she is made to drink this cup, the cup of the wrath of God. And he makes them to eat this sacrifice that he has prepared for them. And again, all of this is a picture of judgment. It is a picture of God bringing wrath and judgment upon a people. And in this case, it is the people that say, thus saith the Lord. It is judgment is beginning in his house, and that house is the corporate body, the corporate church, the place where the gospel it was to be proclaimed. This verse here we're going to look at now in Isaiah 59. It's kind of an interesting verse, I think. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 4, we read, behold, ye fast for strife and debate. The verse of focus, I think, is in verse 7, but we'll start in verse 4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this the fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of the wickedness? And this is identifying with the preaching of the gospel. This is the fast that God has proclaimed, that we were to loose the bands of the wicked, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that thou cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that he covereth him? And that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. And then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine heart, thine health shall spring forth speedily. For thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Jehovah shall be thy reward. Very curious verse. And we are commanded that we are to, when we see someone that is naked, that we are to cover them. And that thou must, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, and what is it that we cover them with? We cover them with the gospel. We preach the gospel, And, you know, the church has taken hold of the gospel, the corporate body, and over time has buried the rock, which is Christ. She has covered the light of the gospel with a bushel, as we read about in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And we're not to cover the light. We don't take a light and put a bushel over it, but we put it up high so that it brings light to the whole house, to the whole city. And by the preaching of the gospel, the picture is in view that we're not hiding ourselves from thine own flesh. That flesh, I think, is a picture of the corporate church. Clearly, these verses in Isaiah 58 talk about those who fast for strife and debate. He's talking about the wicked. They smite with their fist of the wickedness, and they bring a fast that is not godly, and God tells them the fast. Is not this the fast? And he explains in here, Isaiah 58, how this fast that he is commanding us to bring forth is the preaching of the gospel. And then goes right into it, that we're to clothe the naked, we're to clothe the... When a gospel is being preached in a corporate body, and the true gospel is going forth, then they have been clothed, their nakedness have been clothed. So we're not to hide thyself from our own flesh. And during the church age, of course, we had been commanded to be in the churches. And, you know, we're to assemble there. And God sets forth all things, all the work to go forth out of the churches. And so we're not to hide the Christ from the corporate body. And, of course, the commandment was heard, and they have not. But nevertheless, when false prophets and false teachers arise and they then start to bury Christ. In a sense, they put a bushel over the light of the gospel. In Jeremiah, in chapter 17, we read in verse 5, "Thus saith Jehovah, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh his flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from Jehovah. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm." You know, our arm is Christ. The arm of the Lord is Christ. He is the one that brings the gospel, and we are just his ambassadors. We are his body, and he is the head of that body. And so the arm of the body of Christ ultimately is the will of the body, and the will of the body of Christ is Christ himself. And we're not to make the flesh the arm of the body. Whose heart departeth from Jehovah. If we make the flesh the arm of the body, then that heart has departed from Jehovah, is departed from God. In Zechariah chapter 14, you know, I think this is kind of a picture of a of Judgment Day itself. I think it speaks directly to it, but I also see a spiritual picture here of the beginning of the judgment of God. When God begins to judge first his church, and which ends up in the world, and so spiritually we see this Zechariah 14. I think we see this take place spiritually. I think we've seen it already take place spiritually speaking, and on the last day it'll take place physically speaking, I think. But in Zechariah chapter 14, we read in verse 6, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to Jehovah, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, half of them towards the hinder sea, in summer and in winter shall it be. And Jehovah shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Jehovah, one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up, and the inhabitants are in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Haniel unto the king's winepress, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Okay, so now we have this picture, and I think this is the picture of, you know, this gives us one day as the New Testament era. One day is what the Lord is, 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And it is the time when how does the Lord put it? I think it's the waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of towards the former sea and half towards the hinder sea, in summer and winter shall it be. But then we come up to verse 11, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. I mean, verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith Jehovah will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Now God is bringing to the point of the plague, the time of judgment. And he says, their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And now this statement, this, their flesh shall consume away as they stand upon their feet, it gives us a picture of judgment. It gives us a picture of it melting, a melting of the flesh, a fervent heat, I think is what is in view, because it goes on. He goes on and says, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouths. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from Jehovah shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and on the hand, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathens round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plagues of the horses and of the mules and of the camels and of the asses and of the beasts, and shall be in these tents as this plague. Now let's go back and look at this. First of all, the conclusion here, the end results, and so shall be the plagues of the horses. Horses is a picture of the corporate body. The mule, again, a picture of the corporate body. The camel, again, a picture of the corporate body. All of these are pictures of beasts of burdens, burden, a beast of war, and a beast of burden. We have the horse, the mule, and the camel, and the ass. And of all the beasts that shall be in these tents, and God identifies the beast with the false prophets and the false teachers, the beast he refers to the beast of the earth, that they shall be in these tents, these dwelling places, tents, as this plague. And the main focus of the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem, that has fought against Christ, that has fought against the truth, their flesh shall consume away. Now again, you know, when the spirit leaves the body, the flesh consumes away. When the spirit leaves the body, the flesh rots. It is dead. It is a dead carcass left, as we read about Revelation chapter 11. The corporate church is a dead carcass that layeth in the streets, spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, even where our Lord was crucified. But what's very interesting here is their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. It happens instantaneously. Now the picture, again, I think develops at the end of the world, as judgment day has come upon the world, and this sin cursed earth melts and everything in it, and men melt, their flesh burn away, they consume away, their eyes are consumed, their tongues are consumed away in their mouth as they stand upon their feet. But again, spiritually speaking, as we looked, we saw Zechariah 14 verse 6 starts off as a day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. And it talks, as he goes on, that living water, this is the day that living water, one day as living water shall go forth out from Jerusalem. And when did living water start to go forth out of Jerusalem? Well, the living water is the gospel, and that started to come forth out of Jerusalem at the cross, at Pentecost. And that is the picture. This is one day. And so spiritually speaking, we see this entire story as one day. And as they stand upon their feet, their flesh shall consume away as they stand upon their feet. And to stand is to declare the gospel. At some point, the flesh will consume away because the spirit has been removed, death has come upon them, and they will no longer be found upon their feet. And again, this picture spiritually is one day. And their eyes shall be consumed away in their holes, because they will no longer have spiritual sight. They will no longer be under the hearing of the word of God. And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth, because they will no longer proclaim the gospel. You know, when the body of Christ dwelt in the corporate church, and the corporate church was under the rule of Christ by the rod of iron, it brought forth the true gospel, and both saved and unsaved brought forth that true gospel. The unsaved mimicked that which the saved brought forth to them. And so many times that church reflected the true gospel. They worked together in one accord to bring the gospel into the world. And that's the way that God had set it up in the New Testament, that he would use a corporate body of this type to bring the gospel out of every nation into the world. And so spiritually speaking, in one day this happens. And so as they're standing upon their feet, spiritually speaking, as one day, and the spirit is removed and their flesh is consumed and their eyes are consumed and their holes and their tongues shall be consumed in their mouth. So spiritual picture, again, we've got the picture, I think, clearly of the flesh that is in view, that identifies with the corporate church, which is the dead carcass, full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Their flesh has been consumed away. They no longer have sight nor able to speak the truth. In Zephaniah, we're going to this picture in a different way. In Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14, the great day of Jehovah is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of Jehovah. The mighty men shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and of distress, a day of wasteness and destruction, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And so whenever they see the body of Christ, those clouds will be clouds of thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and the alarm. This identifies with the great tribulation clearly. It is bringing us the day of the alarm, the day of the trumpet, the alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men. They won't have spiritual sight. They will walk like blind men because they have sinned against Jehovah, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Their flesh will become as dung. It will feed the back into the earth ultimately. It becomes as dung. So again, blood poured out as dust, their flesh as dung. And this is the time when God will bring great distress upon men, and they will walk as blind men. We read in Galatians how they will reap corruption. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man overtake ye in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh of himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. But every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life unto everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, but in due season we shall all reap, if we faint not. And to faint would be the same thing as falling asleep, and the idea of falling asleep is a picture of being unable to bring the gospel. This picture in verse 8, for he that soweth of his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And again, I think this is a picture of the corporate body. They sow of the flesh, the things of the flesh, the things of the carnal mind. And therefore they shall reap corruption. They will reap the carnal mind. They will reap what they have sown, which is a false gospel, which will become the judgment upon them. Because that is precisely the judgment that God sends into the church. They prefer the lie, he sends the strong delusion. They prefer the lie, they reject Christ, they deny the truth, he sends Satan himself. and his ambassadors, as we see as the picture in the fowls of heaven. We see them as the children of the flesh. And in Romans chapter 9, we read in verse 4, who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption, who are Israelites pertaining to the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? Who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So they which are the children of the flesh, they which are the children of the corporate body, they which are the children of the cardinal mind, they which are the children of the earth, they which are the children of the corporate body, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. These are the children to the bride, children to the body, the children of Christ, the children of the Lord. So just going back now to recap all these verses that we've been looking at these last four or so studies, we're looking again at except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. And the focus of the shortening of the days is identifying with coming out of great tribulation, shortening of the time period that the body of Christ continues to dwell in a dead body, in a dead church. Because again, there's great tribulation is not upon the body of Christ, it is upon the corporate church, it is upon those who have refused to let his people go, it is upon those who continue to try to bring the body of Christ into bondage. And he is commanded to let his children go, and they would not, so he sends plagues, and he sends famines into the land, and eventually he sends Satan himself, and then he himself removes the candle, removes the children of God. Come out of her, my people. We know that flesh in itself cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And this word, saved, there should no flesh be saved, is the word sozo, to be saved, to be delivered, to be protected, to be healed, to be preserved, to do well, to become whole. There shall no flesh to become whole. There is no flesh to become saved. There is no salvation available there in that place in those days anymore. And since there was no more work to be done, God took out his people. He has taken us out of great tribulation. We see that flesh and blood in itself cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. So it is not a picture of the flesh in itself becoming saved. We have to seek a spiritual picture for this, because flesh does not become saved. The flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. But God speaks again of this flesh in a spiritual way, and he also speaks of the flesh of Christ. But looking at those days, let's go back one more time before we close out of this study, and we'll look at some verses here and maybe a little more in the flesh and the flesh of Christ. But let's look one more time at Matthew chapter 24. After we've looked at all these verses, now let's read these verses within context, considering all the verses that we've been looking at these past days, and let's see how it comes together. Matthew 24, verse 15. And bear in mind, God is speaking of the time of the abomination of desolation. He's talking about a time when we're to come out of the corporate body. And he refers to that period of time as those days. And he talks about them that give suck in those days. And he talks about if anyone says unto you in those days, lo, Christ is here, or lo, he is there, believe it not. And then he refers to the carcass. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken by the Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever read it, let him understand. Then let him which be in Christ, or let him who be in Judea, flee to God, flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. and let him which is in the field return back, and neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. So he was being commanded, this covering, the clothes is a picture of a cloak. We see the same picture or idea, I think it's in Mark or Luke, or where God speaks of those that are not to come down off the housetops to take their clothes out. In these verses in Matthew 24, God says not to take the things out of the house, but he refers to the coming out of the field and not to go back to take the clothes, the covering. And that's what's in view, is a covering. It is also the same picture of the flesh. We saw verses which identified the flesh or the clothes spotted with flesh. There was a relationship between a clothing, a flesh, a veil, a cloak. And he goes on to say, and woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days. And that is the focus, those days. So, woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. The corporate church, it's a corporate feeding. It is a feeding of flesh. It is the feeding of going to give suck, and they have no milk of the word to give them. Woe unto them that are with child and give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. And we know directly that the Sabbath identifies with the beginning of the Great Tribulation. It focuses very clearly on September 6, 1994, to give it an exact date. It is the time that Satan is loosed. It is the Jubilee of Jubilees. It is the Sabbath of Jubilee. And that is the flight, the time of the flight. During that 7-year period, at some point, the body of Christ gives a flight. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. It is the time of winter. The sun is minimum to nothing. For then shall be great tribulation. Clearly, God is focusing in on the time of the Sabbath as great tribulation. And as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, shall never be. And we know this focusing of the abomination of desolation comes after the loosing of Satan. And it is Satan rises up and overtakes the saints. And as the Bible clearly tells us that happens. In Revelation 9, we read about how he is loosed out of the bottomless pit. And the smoke out of the bottomless pit comes up and darkens the sun. And the air, which is the light of the gospel, and the conversation, which should be the gospel, it is now full of darkness and no longer full of light. And so that's when the abomination, so God is recapping, he's saying, then shall be great tribulation. This is what he was talking about that led up to this abomination of desolation that would be seen in the time when we would have to flee the church, or those that are in the field not to return back, or those that are on the housetop not to come down. For then shall be great tribulation, as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, never shall be. And except those days, what days is those days? And to them that give suck in those days, the days of the great tribulation that has come upon the church, it is the time period right up to the time when the body of Christ is taken out of the corporate body. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. There's no reason for the elect to continue there. God eventually, finally, takes his people out, and he takes it out with great force, with great wrath upon these people. He has sent famines, and he has sent pestilence and earthquakes in various places. He has even loosed Satan himself upon them, and he has taken them out. And we see the picture of as we see in Egypt, where the firstborn was killed, and again, when the spiritual body was taken out, the corporate body died. And it was done by her own hand. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. God takes his people out. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believeth not. So God is clearly telling us this is the time when he takes his people out of the church, that this is the time of focus of the shortening of those days. Great tribulation continues. It's shortened for us, but great tribulation continues in the corporate church. The wrath of God is still upon them. The silence in the gospel, the fowls of feeding off the flesh of kings and captains and so on. So let me reread that one more time. Keep it in context of what we're reading about and see how God refers right back to it. Matthew 24:22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, when then, those days, then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there, believeth not. Let's go back into the church. We'll find him here. We'll find him there. Believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. The context is constantly on the depart out. That's the shortening of the days. Them who have come out of great tribulation. For those, for the elect's sake, those days have been shortened. For the elect's sake only. Not for the corporate body. They continue under the wrath of God. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert place, desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believeth not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For where in this fashion the carcass is, there will the fowls or the eagles be gathered together. This word therefore, it means as the result of. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Those days, one more place to look at those days, which is very interesting, is in Luke chapter 21, verse 20. And when ye shall see the Jerusalem is compassed with armies. And this is right before the depart out. We look around and we discover we are surrounded by enemies. Then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. It's coming close. Then let them which are in Christ flee to the mountains. We now see the abomination of desolation as spoken by the prophet Daniel. Then let them which are in Christ or in Judea flee in the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let them that are in the countries enter, that are in the countries enter thereinto. And let not them which are in the countries enter thereinto. We don't come back. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which were written may be fulfilled. This is the meat of this season. These things that have been written, we're finding it every place in the Gospels, in the Bible. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days. What days? The days of being departed out. The days that the desolation is taken takes place. The days when Christ tells us to come out, depart out. Woe unto them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, in the gay, in the church, in the earth, and wrath upon these people. You know, we also saw how Christ gives us the picture of the flesh being the body of Christ. We read about that in John 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is referring to the literal flesh of the person of Jesus Christ. We read that He is the bread, and that He will give the bread that He will give is His flesh. Let's look at that. John chapter 6, verse 51. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So that's the bread of life, is His flesh, the Lamb of God. We eat the flesh of Christ by, spiritually speaking, when we look into the Bible and we read about the life of Christ and we see the work of God, and He came and performed this work in the flesh, and we spiritually eat the work that He has performed. We read of those who are delivered unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. We read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. And so again, the destruction of the flesh, again, we see two pictures here. We see the picture of the literal flesh being destroyed, so that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the big spiritual picture is the fact that the corporate body, the destruction of the cardinal minded, the fleshly minded, the flesh of kings, the flesh of the captains, it is the dead carcass. It is given up, destroyed, that the body of Christ may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out of her, my people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read in verse 16, "What, know ye not that he which is joined unto a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh." Come out of her, my people. For he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We need to be attached to the body of Christ, to be flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And when we are attached to a corporate body that is bringing another gospel, what? Know ye not that he that is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. They will be of one mind. They will be cardinally minded, fleshly minded. But Jesus is come in the flesh, in the flesh of the body of Christ. We've looked at that. We saw in 2 John chapter 1, verse 7, where it talks about who those who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in, is not, has come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and antichrist. Because they cannot confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, we saw in 1 John chapter 4, gives us the picture of the fact that we're able to hear the gospel coming forth out of the body of Christ. And therefore we'll be able to say, yes, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We saw that, as I said, in 1 John 4. Let's look at those verses. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where have you heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now God explains this in the next few verses. So listen to how what God is speaking about. He expresses, gives us understanding here in verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you, Christ in the flesh in you, than he that is in the world. Now he's going to make it very clear to us in the next few verses. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. They speak of fleshly things. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, by whether we hear the truth or not. When we see that, when we hear the voice of our Father, remember the Lord said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. He says that we will know the voice of the Father and we won't chase after another. So we hear the voice of the Father being preached and out of a group of people, and we're diligent Bereans searching the scriptures and seeing that these things are so, and we're being fed and nourished, and we grow spiritually in an understanding and wisdom. We're able to confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and Jesus Christ we know has come in us because his spirit witnesses to our spirit, which is the same spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. The preaching of the body of Christ is received by in the heart, and we know it's the voice of the Father, because greater is he, Christ, that is dwelling within us, which is the Word of God, bearing witness of the Word. So the Spirit bearing witness of the Word, which also is the Spirit. My words are Spirit indeed, and my words are truth, and my words are Spirit. Pumanazo. So hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. And we do that by the preaching of the gospel, by looking into the Word of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, and God is love, for God is love. And that love is the agape love, the bringing of that gospel. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. They don't bring that gospel. They bring another Jesus, another word, a word of the flesh. In Ephesians 5, we saw how we are the members of the body of His flesh and of His bones. And for this cause shall a man leave father and mother to be joined to the body of Christ, unto his wife. And they too, the wife and Christ, shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery, he says. But I speak concerning Christ and His church. They are one flesh. And so we are flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. Great is the mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of messengers, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And indeed He was in the flesh of the person of Jesus Christ, but He continues to dwell in the flesh, and that is the flesh of the body of Christ, the will of God being in His body. We see that also at the picture of the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, and that is to come into the body of Christ, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. And the house of God is the body of Christ, and Christ is that high priest over that house. And the focus of coming to Him, that is to say, through the flesh, through the veil, entering into the holiest, which is the body of Christ. You know, it's the outward Jew that is in the flesh. In Romans we read, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. That identifies where circumcision is that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is a Jew inwardly, where circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit, and not in the letter, which praise is not of men, but of God. We saw that the bondwoman was born after the flesh in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, till Christ be formed in you. The body of Christ. Christ is to come and dwell within us, and he says He is faithful to complete the work that He starts in us, and He talks about us being in travail and birth until Christ be formed in you. And I think this travail brings us right to the Great Tribulation. This to be born, travail and birth again, to come out of the womb. God refers to the belly of the beast, and that word belly is the very same word womb. And we've discovered that the belly of the beast identifies with the corporate church, and that in that womb are two children. One is stillborn, and the other one comes forth out of the womb. And I think this picture is in view here in Galatians chapter 4, my little children, verse 19, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one of the bondwoman or the bondmaid, and the other of the free woman. There are two. We jump down to verse 23. We read, for he that was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. They are carnal minded. And the bondwoman identifies with Jerusalem below, and the children coming forth out of Jerusalem below are after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise, that which is spiritual. And we jump down to verse 29 in Galatians 4. But as then he that was born after flesh, just like then, he that was born after the flesh, just like now, the woman, the one born from the bondwoman, that was born after the flesh, persecuted him which was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman. Come ye out, be apart from them. Christ separates us as he separates the goats from the sheep, as he separates the wheat from the tares. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We are not to walk after the flesh. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded is death. The corporate body is fleshly minded, it is carnally minded. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is in enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh, that we might fulfill the lust thereof, Romans 13:14. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loveth me and gave himself for me. The flesh, we saw in Galatians 5, lusteth after lusteth against the Spirit. In Galatians 5 we're told, well, I think we find both. In Galatians 5 verse 15 or 16 we find, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verse 17 we read, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. At some point when the flesh tries to take over rule, we come out of that flesh. Come out of her, my people. God gave us the picture of grass being flesh. All flesh is as grass. We read in 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We see in Revelation chapter 8 concerning the grass that was burnt up, verse 7, the first messenger sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. This is all the language of judgment. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up. All green grass was burnt up. And that one third identifies with the unsaved in the church. The number of the beast is the number of mankind, 666. It's two thirds, one third, and that the number of the beast being the number of mankind, it identifies with unsaved men. That's the spiritual number that God applies to them. And if you break that up into two parts, you have two-thirds, one-third of unsaved men identified in the church, one-third of unsaved men identified outside the church, and the other third of men are saved, which during the church age is in the church, but then is received and taken out. In 2 Peter, we read in chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And we know this is the language of the wicked in the corporate body that God uses constantly. They are presumptuous, they despise government, they're self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And they allure through the flesh. In verse 18, we jump down to verse 18, 2 Peter 2, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Clearly God is speaking about the false prophet and the false teacher in the corporate body, leading them, having a strange flesh, as we read about in Jude 1, leading them by alluring them to the things of the flesh, because they're still fleshly minded. The spiritual minded won't follow after the fleshly minded. But the fleshly minded, those who through the lust of the flesh follow through much wantonness. Even though they came under the hearing, they were sanctified. They had the cleansing of the mind as they responded to the preaching of the gospel. And after they have escaped from the world and the living in error, but they that promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. In Jude 1:7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, going after the corporate body that has turned away. It is a strange flesh. Are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of the dignities. In verse 23 of Jude 1, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him, and that I think is the picture, that garment I think is probably the picture of the covering of Christ, but the spotted by the flesh is the reflection that that particular corporate church puts off to the body of Christ that is within it. And that's why the body of Christ, the word of God, the work of Christ is evil spoken of because of them. Now unto them that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exulting joy to the only wise God and Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. We saw that the ten horns of Revelation 17 verse 16, the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And I think these ten horns, we spoke before, we know that the horns identify with the word of God, and we know that ten is the completeness, and the completeness that is upon the woman is identifying with the false prophet bringing the word of God, but using this word as a judgment because they're bringing another gospel, distorting the truth, and with this truth makes her desolate, naked, and in that process eats her flesh. Because remember, it is the fowls of the air that are called in to eat the flesh, and therefore she is burned with fire, the language of judgment. We saw that in Revelation 19, I think it was, 19 verse 17 and 18, speaking about them eating the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men. And he goes on to says, and gives us the language of the corporate bodies and of horses of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Let's see, there was one of the verse I was looking for, hoping to bring up. Alright, well, we'll end it here with this, Galatians 6:8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And in Romans 9:8, this is they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. All right, that'll end the study, and hopefully I was clear with bringing this picture up of the flesh. We see the flesh of Christ, the flesh being the body of Christ, but we also see the flesh being referred to as the cardinal-minded, the fleshly-minded, the corporate church, the bondwoman, the children of the bondwoman, the Jerusalem below, the strange flesh, another flesh. I think we've seen it in so many different ways. And we've looked pretty exhaustively at the word flesh in the Bible, I think, and we see how God uses this word in a spiritual fashion. And so therefore, no flesh being saved except those days be shortened. Those days that are being shortened is the days of the body of Christ continuing to stay in great tribulation. Not that they are under great tribulation, but they are in tribulation in the sense that they were living in the church. They continued to dwell in the church as the wrath of God was coming upon the corporate body, and tribulation coming from the corporate body onto the body of Christ by killing them all the day long, by silencing them from bringing forth the gospel, and therefore in that process committed self-murder, because the silencing of the gospel made them a dead carcass, a dead body. And then God took us out, and we weren't the one that came, that became stillborn, but she killing herself and her own children, eating the flesh of her own children, that's the stillborn baby. But the body of Christ has come out, and again, I think that picture is kind of clear here in the Bible. And you know, the flesh of the outward is not the being of a Christian, but it is the inward circumcision of the heart. All right, let me end it there. If anybody has any corrections that could be offered, or any questions or comments about this study, feel free to raise your hand or pick up the mic.